Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, where we discuss all sorts of things Germanic heathenry related. My name is Jesse. I'm your host. Let's get into it. All right, folks, well, we are back again on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Going to be bringing you another guest this week, a return guest, my good friend Patrick Walsh. We're going to be talking today about experiencing change. We're actually going to be listening to a supporter, a listener of this podcast who called in last week and started talking a bit about some things happening in their life that is inciting change for them. And I thought it was really interesting timing of it for us to get into this topic because, you know, we just transitioned from that autumn equinox last week, you know. So we're leaning more now into the dormant months, you know. Things are going to start shutting down, but it is a time of change, a time of transition. This whole year, I think thus far, has been a really powerful focus on change. You know, there's a lot of things that have happened in people's lives that I know, my own life personally, and just, you know, the climate, the way the world is, you know, what the landscape is like. Consistent change is what the word I was looking for, consistent. So we're going to get Patrick on here, talk a bit about that and Murachetti's most recent release, Escarmila, which was a great song. I did a review on that also last week. So if you hadn't yet checked it out, please do so. But before we get any further, you know, all the housekeeping stuff, get out of the way. Be sure to like this video, follow this podcast, check the description for the Linktree link. So it's in the description show notes area. Make sure you check it out. Follow along with what I do on all of my socials. If you want to support the podcast monetarily, you can do so in a number of ways. You can buy merchandise. You can become a patron on Patreon. You know, a bunch of things. So check the Linktree link. Also, if you want to send a gift, there's the Amazon wish list. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you can show your support here. And any which way that you want to is greatly appreciated. So thank you so much for doing all of that. Lastly, as another reminder, coming up here next month, the Shadow Moot event in Springfield, Tennessee, hosted by Raven Moonhearth, is fastly approaching, quickly approaching. Will be 3 days for games and ritual and classes and vendors and all kinds of fun stuff, feasting. So it's $45 for the whole weekend. It's a Friday, Saturday into Sunday sort of thing. Very primitive camping style event. You know, so you're going to have to bring a tent, bring all of the things that you would bring on a camping trip. Primitive camping, right? So there's not access to electricity. There's not, you know, access to bathrooms. There's a Port-a-John, whatever they call those things now, on the property, but primitive camping, so, you know, come and dress accordingly. But if you're just coming for one day, the day pass is $20, and there are no advance tickets, at least not this year. So if you're planning on coming, if you're going to be there all weekend, you just pay upon entry. But the one day pass is $20, and I would encourage, if you think of yourself doing that instead of spending the whole weekend, that you come on Saturday, the 14th, because that's when all of the good stuff is happening. All of the event games and classes and the ritual is going to be on Saturday. So of all the days, if you're going to come just for one day, we would recommend that you come on that Saturday. And if you don't want to camp or you don't have the means to camp, I know Springfield and neighboring areas of that area, you know, have hotels, Airbnb, you know, so you got that to consider too. You can come and go right? So if you end up getting a hotel or Airbnb because you want to spend all 3 days there, but you don't want to really do the primitive camping thing, you can explore what options you have there in Springfield or somewhere nearby. So check that out. The event page will be linked in the description and show notes as well. It is a Facebook event page, but for those of you who do not have Facebook or don't use it, there you go. Information is there. The address will be linked down there as well. In case you're just catching this on the audio podcast and you didn't see the address on your screen. So all that information will be linked in the show notes in the description area. So without further ado, let's go ahead and welcome back to the podcast this week, Patrick Walsh. Let's talk about, just experiencing change and embracing change. Let's get into it. All right, folks, welcome back to the show, Patrick, and welcome back to the show, everybody.
Happy to be here.
How's your week, man?
You know what? It was more towards the last couple of days that really stood out and really hit home. You know, just getting out into the elements and making the ventures and trips that I've had to honor the autumn equinox and just getting praise and, you know, honor to some really cool people, really good, you know, holidays and everything in general. Just, you know, feeling pretty good besides the shitty work week.
That's good. It's nice to have things to offset that work balance, you know, the life work balance, you know.
It's not counterbalance that,
you know. Yeah, yeah. Well, we've definitely been feeling a lot more. It's been definitely feeling a lot more like autumn should feel, especially at night and in the mornings. So I'm glad for that too, man.
Same here. How are you been doing though? How's your week?
It's been all right. You know, kind of the same thing. By the time this airs, right, we'll already have been like a week past the autumnal equinox. But got a chance to spend an afternoon last week with friends and other people in the area, other pagans, other heathens. Kind of had like a potluck thing going on. Remember that when you came out and visited last year, remember the park that we were gonna have our thing at?
Yeah, those reserved already. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where we all hung out last week for the Maven thing. Yeah.
Finally available.
Well, it was only available because one of the people got there at like 6:30 in the morning and basically sat there all day until the rest of us got there around 2 in the afternoon. So they basically were like, nobody's going to claim this area. This is our area today. So big shout out to them for doing that. But yeah, other than that, no, it's been, you know, pretty good. I had most of last week kind of here to myself several days. Actually, while we're recording this right now, I still have got the place to myself for the next couple of days. So
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too bad.
Free time is always liberating, but also equal parts. Like, you know, you don't know what to do with yourself, right? Okay. It's like when my dad and his girlfriend went on vacation to Florida last week or the week before. It was really liberating, cool, but at the same time, like, damn.
Yeah.
I'm super lonely right now. Like, but right. It was cool, though. It was refreshing.
Yeah, it's nice, I think, sometimes just to get a chance to ourselves, you know?
Exactly.
So, but yeah, we're gonna be talking about things regarding change today, aren't we? That was the plan. And also, you had wanted to talk a bit about a music release that just came out from one of the Heilung members, right? Yep. Mira. Mira. Is it Mira Ketty or just Mira? I mean, like, Mira Ketty is like the project, but I don't know.
I always said Mira Seti, but I feel like you're pronunciating more Mira Ketty.
Okay.
So don't quote me, anyone who's watching this who knows the proper enunciations from that. But yes, Mira's newest music video. I mean, you and I, we share a very mutual understanding and appreciation for all the work she's done so far. And, like, we talked in person about this, not in person, but, you know, via messenger chats. But We probably played this song more times than we care to count. And that's a tall tale sign that you stumble across something very special, very meaningful, to really, you know, provide something you need to see and hear.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of it? I mean, question.
The video was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Any of the videos she makes or any songs that she creates along with her companions, because, you know, there's more than just one person going on, obviously, but
right.
Just the time, the sacrifice she's made to come this far is absolutely outstanding. And, you know, knowing she comes from Haiyang adds significance to it, but not to discredit that, but also her being herself, you know, it's just, I'm so proud of her. And, you know, I really saw her last year in Chicago and then really talked to her in depth. I hope to this year, but, you know, be that as it may, though, you know, anytime I hear her music and watch her videos, I'm just taken away from all the hardships, all the problems and things that I'm facing. I'm brought to a place to really appreciate the sacred, to appreciate, you know, just the expression that we all face and go through at various stages in our lives. And you made an excellent video that I just finished minutes ago. And you probably did the best reaction video I can even imagine. Now, I haven't seen any other reaction videos, but any others, it'd just be, you know, nothing as meaningful, but just, you know, your insight really complimented how I felt.
Well, thank you. I caught it like when I saw my YouTube notification go off that, you know, the song was out now. I'm like, pause everything, you know, like let me check this out and see. And I immediately was like, well, I know what I'm gonna be listening to now for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd heard the song already because the EP or the album that song is on, along with Uriat, right, is it's part of that same album, you know. So like the theme, they kept really true, or she did, right? Like, but everybody a part of it kept really true to the theme, the visual theme that Uriat's video had, like the music video for that song. Very similar theatrics and imagery, and yeah, not quite the same, you know, of course, because I think
the message.
Yeah, the message was different, you know, obviously the song's different, but that was like one of the things, like, had you heard that song prior to the video or no?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I actually, when her first video, Uriat, was premiered, I quickly sought out her discography on Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend anyone, you especially if you haven't already, check out Bandcamp. Bandcamp in general is just an amazing app, and they experiment with various platforms, be it Facebook, Instagram, Bandcamp, YouTube. Bandcamp is pretty solid. You know, you have some. What I like about Bandcamp is, like, you know, you could hear an album a couple times and you are left with a choice. You could buy it or just not replay it. Now, that may not be the same for every album you listen to, but as far as Haiyang, Song of Nakir, and then Miracetes and Fumidane, a few other artists, you know, you can listen to it a couple of times, but eventually you're, you know, left with that choice again, I mentioned, you know, to buy it. And
yeah,
Mira's album that she released a while back ago, I couldn't help but buy it. You know, it was just great work. And to see this recent video that she uploaded and shared with all of us, like, it's just, I'm very happy the way it turned out, but even more so excited for any future videos that she may or may not be releasing. So far, though, she's making excellent progress, and just, again, everything she's doing to make this possible, there's nothing but credit and kudos for what she's done so far.
Yeah, and I don't know if you knew this too, but like with Bandcamp specifically, I think it's every Friday, there's what they call Bandcamp Fridays, and 100% of the money that you spend on Bandcamp goes to the artist, right? instead of the platform taking a percentage, which is standard, you know, pretty much everywhere. It's certain platforms take a higher percentage of a cut for having your stuff on their platform. But I think it's Fridays. They call it Bandcamp Friday. So if you were to like buy an album on a Friday off of Bandcamp, whatever you pay for that album is 100% going to the artist at that point.
I didn't know that. Percentage of it. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely be keeping that in mind, the future purchases and all that, you know.
Yeah. But I did too. I listened to it. I think it was on Spotify when I first came across the album, and I listened to it pretty much like front to back for on repeat, you know, for like a whole afternoon. And it's definitely a journey, you know. It definitely, like, if you close your eyes and kind of put, you know, let your mind's eye envision things, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say, like, when you see a video, you know, you're gonna, and then hear the song later, you're always gonna, I think, go back to that visual experience. Whereas if you listen to the song before the music video gets released, or if there is no music video, you're more apt to allow that internal vision take you places. And it's such a, like I mentioned in my review of it, it's like, it's basic, not basic in a bad way, but simple. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, there's no frills and bells and whistles or anything about the production of it. It's raw and it's simple and it's beautiful for it being just that, you know, and it carries such a powerful message, you know?
And one that you mentioned also as well is she doesn't have the following that she deserves in our humble opinions, you know, which again, you know,
I know that's a struggle too for a lot of artists, you know, and I hope that talking about it on this platform and getting some conversation around it will help drive some people to check her out, right? And support her.
Anyway. The hump that she's going to get over, you know, having associations and, you know, share company with Hyalung, I feel like will do her a great advantage in spreading the message. Just like Alex Pozo, he has his own thing going on too, as well. Something I'll be sharing with you shortly after this podcast. But a lot of the artists, as Emily too, on that note, she released an album. I'm not sure if I told you this in person, or not in person, but via chats, but she released an amazing album that just was nothing short of amazing and incredible. And, you know, I really like that they do their own separate projects. Just like Maria and Christopher, they do Songrak here. Now, forgive me if I mispronounced that, but that's their original. This is the group they do just to have fun and share what they share. Hyalung is very intent-based, very purpose-based. We're doing this for a reason. Or is the other things that I can't speak on their behalf or anyone else's behalf, but, you know, anything else is just, you know, experimenting and getting to know their audience.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that there were that many different side projects.
There are, yeah.
That are the reason why Hyalung is its thing, you know? Like, everybody is doing kind of their own thing, but then they come together and create this wonderful, you know, theatrical and ritual experience for the world. I didn't know that.
Share that foundation and appreciation for what they commit themselves to, whether it be a daily practice or a weekly practice or what have you, you know, it's just knowing that they share that mutual friendship and love with each other. That I find all the more inspiring and, you know, super cool to, you know, observe and, you know, to see that.
Yeah, definitely. What was the thing that stood out to you the most on Mira's new song? So it's called Skirmila, which I think we both discovered today, or at least I did, thanks to you. It's a Basque word or phrase that means grateful or thanks. It's like giving thanks, Skirmila. What was the thing about that video? Yeah, that song or that video that really struck a nerve for you.
For me, it's just like her previous music video, Uriat. Again, mispronunciation for all you typos out there. but overall, though, just the entirety of her song and just the overall intent and message that's incorporated and embedded and seated into what she sent and shared. And for me, though, it was just appreciation. And I didn't know until literally an hour ago or so to really understand the name of the song and have an appreciation for what it meant. And having seen that it reciprocated and was on the same level as how I felt. It's like last night, I listened to it over 10 times. And that's being checked for saying that. But now this, it strikes a chord and it resonates with me for all the right reasons. It just makes me feel special and give thanks and appreciation for not only, you know, our path and what we're going through, but also just, you know, the amazing mystery and works that music does and why we follow who we follow and what we do, what we do.
Yeah, that was one of the beautiful things about that. You know, without knowing the language, without being able to speak it or understand it, you have to rely on what, like, the message is, you know, like, if it speaks to you that way. You don't have to understand the language to feel that message come through.
Exactly. I want to point out really quick here, I noticed we're having some audio feedback.
Oh, you got it coming up on your end, too?
Did you hear? Okay, yeah, I heard that, too.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that is. I'm not sure if it's, I have any notifications enabled right now, because I have notifications enabled for Messenger.
Yeah.
I'm not sure
if it's okay.
Small or not.
I mean, well, it's all right. I think, you know, people listening,
they understand the overall.
Is what it is.
What we're doing. But, you know, in a perfect world, you know, we could have this without any shenanigans. But, you know, here we are. Anyways, continue, please. I'm sorry. I just wanted to point that out, though.
No, yeah, you're good, man. But and also the timing of when the song was released, right around the autumn equinox, you know, that period of time of the year when day and night are of equal lengths, and then we see that shift, that waning or waxing or whatever the right terminology is, where we start to think about the longer nights, shorter days, all of that stuff, and get ready for rest and get ready for recovery. It is a period of time, and it is a time of change, you know, and we have to, I think that was like another part of the episode today that we wanted to really touch on was change and what change can do for us and how difficult it can be, you know, experiencing change, embracing change, and just how difficult or challenging it can be sometimes to face that change, you know. All right, we got Patrick back here. Little bit of technical difficulties, but you know, hey, that's just how it goes sometimes, you know. Worst case scenario is
help himself this evening. I said his name. I blame myself partly for that, but here we are.
Roll with the punches, right? But yeah, anyway, just kind of like recap real quick. The timing that Mira's song came out at the autumnal equinox, change being a big focus for a lot of us around this time of year. You know, we're moving into the times of year that are dormant. Things are starting to shut down and go into a rest stage, and how that kind of a change, or any kind of a change that we experience, you know, can be rough sometimes, you know. And embracing that change, right? And allowing that process to do what it has to do for us and not really fight it, you know? Because I think some of us, you know, whenever things don't stay on the same course that we're used to and comfortable with, any kind of change that comes that we don't incite ourselves, it's like, oh, what is going on? You know, it's, you know, you try to fight it.
Well, even more so when we come to approaching that transition that we expected to be easy street. Like, okay, I'm making the right choices now. No, it's not that simple. Making the right choices is the right step in the right direction. But it's more often not a painful process for all the right reasons in the world. And that's something we have to bear in mind. We're making that transition and those changes in our lives. For me, for example, like, I used to drink every freaking night. Now it's periodic. And I'm in the continuing path into cutting back on my consumption and whatnot. But that's just an example. Or even more to that point is like when I was addicted to opiates and whatnot. You know, but that was more of a drastic and forced change. So anyways, more to the point though, any change we make in our lives is not going to be pleasant, but it serves a very noble purpose. And that's something we have to bear in mind during that process that we face, you know, whether it be cutting a toxic friendship or, you know, changing our habits and our diet. You know, it's something that it's going to be really messed up for a long period of time, but we stick through it and stick to it, we'll find ourselves in a better place.
Yeah. And not all change, you know, I mean, a lot of change is rough, you know what I mean? Especially when it comes to lifestyle changes or, you know, like you say, you know, severing ties. I actually talked a little bit about that on a live stream that I did. Well, at this point, when this airs, it was, you know, last week, but my last live stream, I was talking about, you know, when, like, a relationship, you know, if you, or in my case, when it was, you know, somebody who I called my brother, you know, and who called me their brother. And it was like, I fought tooth and nail to not, you know, cut that relationship out. I try to preserve and save that to the bitter end. You know what I mean? And I had to be the one that's like, dude, I can't with you anymore. I can't, you know, this isn't working. This isn't, as long as you're doing X, I can't, you know, be with you. I can't talk with you. I can't be a part of anything in your life as long as you're doing these certain things. And man, that was one of the toughest things that I had to do, because again, we had reached a point throughout our lives that we established a thing between us, you know, a brotherhood, a kinship between us. And then I go and I.
How long have you known this person, by the way? I had to ask.
I mean, I'd say probably about 7-8 years. I mean, a little while, you know, I mean, we shared in ritual together. We've done a lot of meaningful things together. I mean, you know, again, it was like one of those things where I'm like, that change was definitely not easy. And no, not something I wanted to go through, but I had to, you know.
See, I mentioned this a lot when talking about this topic, and I hope I didn't cut you off by any means, but
no, go ahead.
Something we face with really meaningful friendships, whether you have that friendship for like 1 year, 6 months, 3 years, 5 years, in my case, sometimes 15 years plus, you're bound to come across some humps in the road. You're going to come across some shenanigans, malarkey that you didn't expect. And for the most part, it's worked in our favor. Well, whether it be, you know, my friend and I, you know, we have times we disagree, don't see eye to eye, or straight up.
Yeah, that's normal.
We just sever ties with each other. But then when time passes and the wounds have healed, for the most part, we pick up where we left off. And that's a trademark for a really, truly meaningful friendship. And
not like take a break, you mean like, hey, get some space, right? Exactly. It's not, yeah.
But there are going to be times that we're pushed to the limit. And I'm not referring to anyone specifically right now, but there are people that come to mind when that regard comes. And again, this is not public shaming or anything, but just, you know.
Well, it ties with the whole theme of the podcast. I mean, we're talking about things that are unpleasant, changes that happen that you don't want to have to happen, but they need to happen in order for.
To grow.
Not just
for ourselves, but them as a person as well. And that's something I feel like we agree with in that regard. It's just, you know, it may be unpleasant. You may have to cut ties for a while. Hopefully not permanently, but, you know, it happens the way it happens. You know, and just, again, I've shared that experience too with other people as well who are no longer part of my life. And they offered great ties within my life. Great, wonderful ties I wouldn't trade the world for. But now, in a sense, we're both dead to each other. But that's the way it is, you know. I've had friends. Here's a really good example is friends from childhood. I wish to hell that I had some of the friends I had since grade school. That would be so meaningful and so special. But then there's a lot of things we have to take into consideration. That other person might have a family now. They have kids. Those are two huge freaking things.
Those are big changes. Yeah.
When you have kids in the mix, all bets are off. You know what I mean? It's all about them. And that's something I feel like most of us can appreciate and understand.
Right.
Why that person's not available. Now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, there are people who may have habits that are not doing well by them. And I've been in that situation too. So many factors and considerations to take into account, but also I'm trying to get back on track with what we're talking about, but you know, transitions and stages that we're going through may not always be pleasant, and more often than not, they're not. But we have to roll the punches and do the best we can and not get too messed up over that.
Yeah, and if we fight that change, you know, what are we really doing at that point, right? You don't want to – why are you trying to
– fight against a raging current.
Yeah, why are you trying to prevent something that just needs to happen, you know?
Rip off the band-aid, rip it off. It's not healing, take care of it.
Right. You know, and then, you know, there's also things like you were talking about, like conscious change, you know, making decisions in our lives that make, you know, that are a change, whether it's, you know, how much of a substance we're consuming or the type of company that we're holding or whatever. It's like,
right.
You feel so much better. Like, it's going to suck at first, right? Like, those things are going to be rough, and it's going to be a shock to the system to now have to go on living or go on existing without this thing, that, or the other. But the reward overall for doing it is much better for doing it, as if, you know, in opposition, if you were to remain in that toxic relationship, or if you were to keep going just because, well, I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to rattle the cage is too bad, you know?
Yeah.
And I noticed that, like, watching that video from Mira, you know, the way she, the character, you know what I mean? Like, when she changes from this form of herself, walking through the desert, carrying this treasure chest looking thing, right? This box with the idol or the little god piece or whatever, and then changes and transforms into like a spirit self, like the embracing that spirituality or that spirit self. It reminds me of like what we see in nature a lot of times when you, you know, animals shed their fur, they molt their feathers, they shed their skin, they do these things that are a death in a way, and it's a partial death, and it's not you're not gone, you're just transitioning, you're changing.
And it's sometimes painful, but again, what we're talking about uncovering is it's sometimes painful and unpleasant.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it serves a purpose.
Deer do the same thing, right? When they shed their antlers, when the bucks shed their antlers, like, and then look at like when they're growing their antlers too, right? That velvet that they have on their antlers in the spring and summer, they have to get that off because it's itching them. I don't know if you knew this, but like when they shed velvet, when that velvet starts coming off and they like have to shake their heads on trees and rub against trees, it's a relief to them. But it's like a bloody mess, all that stuff coming off because there's blood vessels and stuff in there. So when it starts to shed, it becomes really itchy and they have to get it off. Otherwise, I mean, it's coming off anyway. So they got to do what they got to do. So we see these things happening in nature, and it looks grotesque. It looks just like, again, it looks like this fleshy, bloody thing hanging off of their antlers. But after they've shed their velvet and their antlers and stuff are all polished, look at the beauty that comes out of it. You know, you have this majestic, really nice looking set of antlers on you.
And that's a wonderful correlation too. Is to really, you know, remind ourselves that we're very much part of nature and our earth and our creatures that we share company with. we're not so much different than we expect. You know, these creatures, you know, they have a one-track mind. It's survival, reproduction, what have you.
Yep.
You know, we all share similar plights, be it creature or human, you know. And that's something I really admire about this path as well, is to give honor and praise and, above all, attention and awareness to that. To have that love and understanding and why we share the path of view. It's to make associations that are very fundamental to our growth and our personality as people and, you know, what we choose to do.
Yeah. Yeah, we can learn a lot from nature. Absolutely.
Especially with the seasons and going back to Mira's, you know, song, yeah, it just, it kind of hits a lot of points on that transitional period.
Yeah, the timing of the release was perfect. And I'm sure she had that in mind, right? Like to release it at that time. And if she didn't, then it's super coincidental. But I feel like that was a smart move.
Coincidence.
You know, I feel like that was a really smart move just to put something out like that at that time of year when we're thinking along those lines, you know? But I actually was going to have you listen with me. We had a call come in last week on the podcast, and since it's coming into the topic of embracing change, this person who called in is talking about a pretty drastic change themselves. So I'm going to start playing it, and we're going to listen to it. This is I'm not going to say names, right, because I like to keep people's identity anonymous for the most part, but we're going to call her. This is Sigyn. Okay, so for anybody that's listened to the podcast in the past, my episode on Sigyn, Loki's wife, right?
I remember this one. Yeah.
Yeah. So same person. So they called back. We're going to go ahead and play it. Okay. Nope. That's not it. This is it. Hold on.
She's got the right idea.
Regarding Sigyn. So I just listened to the Why Are We Pagan episode Thursday. Came out today. And I thought I'd call again and ask a question and maybe an idea for a show. I've been having this thought basically for a while now. And towards the end of this last episode, you guys were talking about a time when, like, there's going to be times of war. You know, right now, I'm having one of those times, basically. I always feel full this time of year, and I feel a lot. I don't know how to explain it, but like fall and winter, that's like my time.
On a pause real quick. So she's referencing the last episode with that, you know, Why Are We Pagans? The episode you and I did, Why Are We Pagans, right? And she's talking about one section of that episode. And I couldn't quite pick up exactly where, but this time of year, she's saying that she generally feels full and satiated, you know what I mean? As a general rule, right? She feels like she's abundant. There's, you know, no real lack of things. But as we're going about to hear it a little bit more, it's a little bit different.
Ready, I'm preparing, prepared, doing stuff, staying busy. I don't know, maybe other people aren't like that. That's the way I am. It's also harvest time in my area. But, I feel empty, really, really empty and disconnected and just all this, these feelings. And it's probably made worse by my support group facilitator. She recently asked me about my past, and, you know, I could tell that she, when I was telling her, you know, and she was confused, but she has like a snarkiness about her. And she was just really rude, disrespectful, confused, all of this. I could see it. I've seen it before. But I never expected her to have this reaction to my own personal past because, you know, she's a psychologist. She's a support facilitator. She's an advocate. I just didn't know she was going to be so world-denying, I guess. We have girls of all sorts of faith who come through the support group, and she was just absolutely disgusting with me. And that just hit me at the right time in my life, I guess. But I've been feeling down in the dumps, and this lady who I guess I have placed on the pedestal has, I don't know. Anyway, not feeling too good. And I've been on this path for 18 years now, and it.
We're going to get into the second one, but I'm going to pause there because the other half of the message is going to explain a little bit more. But just right off of the rip, man, you know, to open up to somebody, first of all, for them to ask and then to respond in such a way that's invalidating, or not just invalidating, but like
inconsiderate.
Yeah, making you feel like shit for it. Like, who the hell, like, especially someone of in that line of work, in that profession, like, I'm sorry, but how did you even get to where you are if you're that way to other people?
No goddamn idea.
Have you experienced anything like that? Have you seen anything like that? Because, I mean, my initial knee-jerk reaction is like, get the hell out of there.
I hate to say this, but with the company that I work for right now. Now, the incident that occurred, I'll summarize this very quickly, but I have an employee that works for us that out of the blue grew some kind of vendetta against me. And to this day, I have no idea where it stemmed from, where the roots are. But one day she just came in working very uncompliant, very, you know, rude and disrespectful. I'm like, okay, she's having a bad day, whatever. But then, here's where the long story short comes into place. She expressed her dissatisfaction and hate towards me. Not dislike, but hate towards me. And then there was a conversation that was being had between my general manager and then should be assistant manager, but a co-manager. She's cool. That's the other manager. But and then Rory, the employee, was listening to a conversation that my GM and my should-be assistant were having. They're talking about that I was going to have some time off to see Hai Long in Chesterfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she's listening to this conversation and she goes, I hope he dies.
What?
Yeah. My reaction, exactly. I'm like, where's this coming from?
Wow.
What's happening? But more to the point, though, now, my cool manager, the should-be assistant, she's like, she speaks on my behalf. Her and I, we've worked with each other for over 4 years. I appreciate her to death. She's a wonderful person, a wonderful human being. We're friends off of work. But anyways, she goes, that's messed up. You shouldn't say stuff like that. You shouldn't wish death on anyone unless it's something rightly warranted. You know?
Well, yeah, but also the fact that, I mean, like, that's a HR case in the making. You know what I mean?
More to the point, though. Here's what's messed up about my company right now. Again, I'm not going to make this a tangent as well as I want to, but I'm anyways, yeah. My GM, her reaction during this exchange is like, she grinned, not in a polite grin, but a messed up grin, like, oh, I think this is entertaining. And that was that. Nothing was said about it. But here's the messed up part. My should-be assistant, I don't want to mention names, just respect her privacy. I mentioned one name here or there. But so my GM has a friend in the HR department. So any issues with her? All right, that sucks. Sorry you're dealing with that. We don't care. It's basically what the vibe we're getting off of. But the fact that she didn't defend me like the other person did, my friend, it messed me up for a long time. And I've gotten over it. And unfortunately, I'm in the time of year, and some of you might relate, though, we're in that time of year right now. We can't afford to change jobs because we have certain obligations and holidays that are upcoming.
That would be a pretty catastrophic change.
Exactly. Yeah, I have special trips, Jesse, you might know one of them, but or both of them actually. But
right.
I'm not in that position to root myself somewhere and follow a company that could appreciate me for me. But also, I've been with this company for over 6 years now. About 6 years now. My anniversary happened a few weeks ago. But
congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This company, for the most part, is great. And I've become very complacent and almost to a fault where I don't really see my true worth anymore. But also, it's time to make that change, but now's not that time. And I'm trying my best to follow my intuition and follow my gut. I'm like, you know what? Let's get past all the holidays. I don't know, most of us are heathens and pagans or whatever path we choose to follow, but we know where we're coming from. You know where I'm coming from. It's during Christmas, we have to take care of gifts and then making travel expenses to see our said relatives and whatnot. It's a whole big thing. So right now is the worst time, in my opinion. I'm sure a lot of you could agree, but the worst time to change jobs is for this period.
Yeah.
I like to have a stable set income, and that's what I'm relying on. But come when New Year's comes around, I'm excited to say one day, like, hey, I found a new job. But also at the same time, though, Freddy's, I work for Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers. Anyone who's interested and curious to know where I work, I'm a manager. I started with the company right around the time of my peak of my addiction with opiates. And then I had a car accident and then changed my personality, my persona, my overall work ethic. And did the best I could. And then I got promoted to a crew trainer. And then a year after that, I became a manager. Now, when I became a manager, I'm sorry, I'm on a tangent now. But when I became a manager, I did not seek this position. It was offered to me. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to seize this opportunity. I'm going to make the best of it. But now I'm at the point now, I'm like, okay, it was cool. It was good. It was great. It added some very necessary life lessons. But now it's time to, when approachable and proper, to change.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like jobs. I mean, you know, if you're looking to change a career, I mean, you got to be tactical about it. But with something like this, you know, where clearly what Sagan's talking about is a therapy, session, you know, or group therapy, right? Going to a place which should be a safe space for all the participants, and going there and not feeling safe because you've been attacked by the person who you should feel the safest with, the facilitator, the psychologist, whatever, you know. And when opening up and talking about something personal, right, your religious or spiritual beliefs and practices, get made to feel as if you're silly or just disrespected over it. I'm going to play the second half of it so we can hear more of the context.
Okay, I promise you I ain't sending you no 12 messages. I do respect your time, and thank you for listening.
Just real quick, Sagan, it's no big deal. You can call and leave as many messages as you want that you feel you need to, or anybody for that matter. And I'll do my best to, you know, trim them out, put them in, keep stuff that's relevant in here, but it's all good.
So basically, this person who I respect a whole lot, I saw a different side of her, and I was already not feeling good. I was feeling kind of crazy, and now I'm just feeling even more crazy, I guess, because today is going to be my last day in this group. I am no longer going to be a pushover. I'm going to stand up for myself. myself, and I'm going to
good.
Just, you know, let her know. It's not really for me. It would be for me if it was a little bit more accepting of other views. And I don't think that's healthy, so I'm just going to back out, and I'm going to just be nice and all that, and, well, it is what it is. So I've never really talked to other people about what do you do when...
I'm just going to pause real quick on that one because, you know, getting out of something like that where you don't feel accepted and say, I mean, again, in context, right, a place... like what she's describing should absolutely be a place that you don't feel invalidated. I think that part of therapy can sometimes involve being challenged with yourself, right? Like I think part of, and I'm no expert, you know, so please, anybody listening, watching, you know, I don't claim to know anything about psychology or psychiatrist, you know, learning. But what I'm trying to say is that I think sometimes part of the healing process does include getting pretty visceral and putting up this challenge against ourselves, you know, and it's like you got to face this thing. I don't think that you should be feeling unsafe or that you shouldn't feel accepted in the process. I think it should be done delicately, carefully. But, you know, you might... not saying you specifically, Sagan, or anybody, but like just, you know, we might be kind of up in our own heads too much, thinking that everything we're doing is the way it ought to be. And there might be things about what we're doing at any given point in time that are toxic and that we need to be presented with that, and we need to confront that, and we need to see about the change. I don't think that this is applicable. I don't think that what she's describing here is what's happened, just from what little we know. Right. I think that she was just talking about what she believes in. And then this other person's like, you do what now? And then, but anyway.
Can I mention something really quick here?
Yeah. Please.
I'm not sure she's a part of my group, but we'll let her know. I'm assuming she's watching. But
mm-hmm.
If you're not part of my mental health awareness group, I'd love to have you here. I have some really great admins and moderators part of my group, and I strive and continue to make my group a safe space. Now, it's arduous approving and disapproving members joining without answering the security questions and whatnot, but also I'm pretty liberal when people share posts or experiences for the most part. But also, you know, more to the meat and potatoes of that, though, you know, when you join my group and you're approved, share what you will with the best of intentions and just be the person that you are. Now, I'm not ever going to be in a position to judge anyone on their beliefs and what they choose to follow. You're part of the group and you agree to the rules and respect the message. You're more than welcome to share your plights, your victories, and everything you have to offer. And that's what a group should be about. Not taking a personal stance in your ego to judge someone during their affliction or seeing something they observe that they don't approve of. Because I've been in that position before. Like, some people share stuff and like it's relatable, but I don't agree with, but I'm like, hey, you know what? This might reach someone who needs to hear this or needs to see this. And that's why I generally, like I said, liberal about that kind of stuff. But that's really crappy what you're going through. And I'm sorry that you're going through that, but know that there are people. There are individuals who have your back. This guy over here, I've been following him for a few years now, but you're a great company. I'm very happy to have you part of this podcast, and know that you are supported, you are loved, and appreciated.
Thank you.
I want to say, in Christianity, I think they call it like something of faith. You know, you're not feeling it. You know, you got questions. I'm not questioning. I'm for certain. I'm not questioning my faith. I just feel so empty or so alone. I don't know what it is. So I guess I'm going to take this path to actively seek people, like my people. So I've been thinking about that for a while. I think it's time I like kind of rip off the band-aid and stop being so afraid.
Rip off the band-aid. But yeah, that's me.
I have my reasons. So yeah, what do you do? Because so far I've just been like grounding, you know. I walk 10 miles a day. Sometimes I walk 7. I have been doing this with
my
not all the time, but sometimes. I can't explain to you the happiness I feel. When I go running without shoes, I am a pure human being of planet Earth. I don't know how to explain it. Best feeling.
You don't have to explain it.
I get it.
That's what I got so far, but I can't, my legs are hurting. I'm kind of also just wanting to find healthier ways to find happiness, I guess, or not feel so alone.
And it's your stress.
I don't know. I feel crazy now. So I'm going to go. Bye.
Man,
not
oh man.
Not crazy at all. Not crazy at all. More to the point, normal. We all feel this way, and a lot of times, you know, the fact that she's brought to this point to question things, I think it's badass. I think it's really cool. She found herself in that position. Like, you know what? It was cool for a while, but now it's time to move on. And hey,
yeah,
serious kudos exactly. To that point. It's not easy. It's very daunting of a task to really challenge your expectations and to challenge the people or some people that surround you. There's nothing wrong with that, nothing crazy about that. I have nothing but respect and reverence for your position, but also support all the while.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Sagan, for calling in and first of all, opening up, you know, and talking about something that is weighing heavy on you and raising a really good question. You know, she mentioned along the call there about, you know, what do you do? I think what you were maybe trying to refer to, Sagan, is crisis of faith. You're talking about Christians have this thing, something of faith, maybe crisis of faith.
Yeah.
And I know you said you weren't questioning your faith. You're not in denial. You're sound and you're solid in your beliefs. But so I don't think that going to your people, right? You talk about leaving this group therapy that is kind of not doing anything good for you because of the attacks that you felt were made towards you, and going back to talking with your people. And now you're talking about feeling alone and trying to find ways to heal through this time where you should normally be feeling enriched and fulfilled. You know, you talk about going on barefoot runs and go. This time of year, this transitional time of year is not about go. We've already been going, right? Now we're in this transitional, this change, this time of year. That's about let's slow down, let's rest, let's store, let's recharge, right? Let's rest. And I think, you know, one of the things that we are oftentimes we find ourselves doing is staying in that perpetual motion to heal, right? Well, I got to be doing this. I got to be doing that. Maybe you just need to stop, pause. Rest, regroup, collect, recharge, you know, get with your people, be nurtured from your people, right? Lean on your people, let them alleviate some of those things. And then, because they know what you're going through, right? They know your beliefs. There's that commonality there. There's that like-mindedness.
Exactly. Don't forget the people. Forget the people. Pay more mind. And appreciation, not saying you haven't already, but focus your attention on those you can count on, the sure bets, the people you know,
your people,
us, right. And it's a great reference. I'm just saying, we are these two crazy fuckers here, Jesse and Patrick. We've been in that position too, and there's nothing wrong with the way you're feeling. And again, I'm proud of you for coming this far and sharing your struggles and your plights. I've been in the same position too, you know? It's totally cool to feel that way. And it can be overwhelming. Please don't lose sight during those messed up times. Like, oh my God, all these people are against me. No, not the case at all. Not the point at all. There are great people. Not only great people, but more importantly, or as important, great forces and great beings, be it the gods, our Lambatir, our Hospitir, those people we come across at a grocery store to exchange a warm smile when you're having a rough day, or people that just let you know. They're random. They're never people you know in person, but they just share a glance. And at that moment, you probably need it. Like, hey, you know what? It's not all messed up. There's hope. We can't lose sight of that hope. No matter how messed up things get, we need to ground ourselves. And again, to Mira's video, I feel like that's a sound basis of that, and giving thanks and also grounding ourselves to counting on what we can count on and give thanks and praise to what has gotten us this far. As well as struggles, struggles are well and good, but the support and the momentum that we carry through our daily practices and what we follow, what we choose to do, is fundamental to continuing this, what we do.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought the video back up too, because I keep reflecting on what I saw when I watched that video, right? There were moments, I don't know if you caught, during that video where when she's experiencing what she's experiencing, there are expressions on her face that really capture this essence of what do you call that? Like disorientation, like where am I? What's going on? Like, and that happens when we transition. That happens because we're moving into this next stage. We're moving into a different awareness, a different stage of our existence, right? And it's a shock to the system. So you're going to be kind of disoriented. It's going to be this like, what the heck is going on here, right? And yeah, sure, like there may be a theme with the music video specifically, but I loved that visually speaking, that's what was captured. The essence of when change happens, it's a shock to the system. You're going to be leaving this group, right? This group therapy, like you're going to be leaving it. You've been going to this for however long. And then next thing you know, you're not going to have that. And so maybe subconsciously, that's going to be something that bothers you or that you feel somehow empty because of. Maybe it just hasn't been enriching to you for this whole time. And maybe that's why you're feeling so empty. It's like, I'm going to this thing, but I'm not getting anything out of it. I don't know. I'm just
point of awareness.
Home here.
We can't.
What's that?
We're brought to a point of awareness that we didn't really foresee or expect.
Yeah.
The universe, I feel like, in a way for her, singing, you know, the universe is like, hey, you're not in the right place. Let's give you an example and a reason why to feel that way. And while that reason's painful, it's necessary. Again, sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because you know, and always having this idea of like, I gotta, and there's like so many contrasts that you can think of, right? I've known people who feel empty, feel like they are not connected in a way, because they aren't doing anything, because they're staying still, right? You talk to those people, or at least I have, and you talk to those people, and it's like, well, it's no wonder you feel malnourished, because you're not engaging with anyone else to help nourish you. You're not doing anything. You're remaining stagnant. And then here we have an example, perhaps, of somebody who is always going, always on the go, always trying to do things, and it's the opposite. Right. Well, maybe you need to pause. Maybe you need to stop. Maybe you need to slow down. Maybe you need to, yes, be grounded in your movement, but stop for a minute. Establish some roots, right? Recharge, regroup. Don't be so caught up in that perpetual motion, because, you know, everything has a time. Everything has a place. Everything has a season. And this time of the year, this season, this transitional time of the year is not about rapid movement. It's not about all of that. It's about slowing down. It's about pausing and taking a rest. And so maybe that's something to consider too, right?
Take into account what led us to this position, for better and for worse. You know, I feel like all of us have made great strides and great accomplishments, but at the same time, we're still lingering on the things that could have been and what should have been. But
yeah.
Right, I'm here. That's neither here or there. We are who we are right now. And so we're going to make the best of it. And make best of ourselves.
Yes. That's an easy thing to fall victim to, right? Being caught up in the woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Oh, also referring your... comparing yourself to someone else's successes and hardships. That's a horrible mistake I made in my life. Especially with my brother. You know, he's a surgeon, and I'm just some random asshole who works as a manager at a fast food restaurant. That's my, you know, inner dialogue speaking. But, you know, that doesn't matter. What matters is our actions and what we do with set, you know, setbacks and victories. You know, it's what we do that matters, not what we should have been or what could have been. Be you, and for the best reasons.
Well, the things that happened already, I mean, you know, it's not like you can go back and change it. I mean, it is
no,
what it is.
No, you can't.
You know? Can't. So you do what you do now to be better for that. And I'm also kind of sensitive to something that I've seen a lot of people do. And I think I talked about this either on a live stream or in the last podcast, but the self-deprecation, you know, it's you know, and Patrick, I know, like, I know you didn't mean anything by this, but, you know, I'm just some random asshole that works at this, that, and the other. No, you're not. You're awesome. You know what I mean? Don't tell yourself things like that. And I have to keep telling myself that too, right? But the people listening, the people watching, your body, yourself, right? You're who you are, your true self doesn't know the difference between you talking shit about yourself versus anybody else talking shit about you. It's negativity that's being fed to you, whether it's from somebody else or whether it's from yourself. And you're going to react to that. Your system is going to react to that kind of energy, regardless of where it comes from. I think Bruce Lee said something along those lines, right? Like, don't talk shit about yourself because you don't, yourself doesn't know the difference of where it comes from.
It doesn't know better. It doesn't know better from a joke, from actually a point of reference.
Right. You know, and I get it. Like, again, the whole self-deprecation thing. Like, I'm the first person in the world to make fun of myself, to, you know, do all of those types of things because I, you know, it just is how I've been. But I've really gotten to reflect on that and try to change that with myself because, again, what would be the difference of if somebody else were to say those things to me, I would react in a much different way.
Isn't it funny how that works, though?
It is, right?
It's crazy. You're like, well, fuck you too. I'm sorry, forget you too. I'm not sure if it's, you know, speaking
or not. But... Yeah. Exactly. You know, like you get on the defense when people say things about you that you, in the same breath, will turn around and say
agree,
about
but disagree.
Right? And it's like, yeah, I'm some asshole. No, you're not, man. And I would never, first of all, if anybody were to call you some asshole and I was in the same room with them, they'd have to deal with me too. Because I'm like, look, man, you don't talk to my friend that way. You don't.
Pardon the dark screen here. I'm just been trying to find my work clothes here. Sorry.
That's all good. But it's like if you're talking and it's a joke, I mean, I guess, you know, there's the whole, like, in the Norse, in Norse beliefs and stuff, you got flighting, which is basically like talking smack to one another, but it's more of like a jest or fun or games,
right,
sort of thing. And so I, you know, but I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I think that if we're constantly or repeatedly
bashing ourselves,
then we're going to eventually get to a point where, whether we want to or not, we're going to believe that.
It's become normal.
And we're going to be.
We should not make normal. We should make, appreciate ourselves more, you know, day to day. But that's in a perfect world. We live in a perfect world in a perfect society. And what's important, though, again, pardon my, you know, no, don't pardon that. I am who I am. See, here I am. During this very live stream, I'm finding myself in that position, too. And that's what I suddenly find very beautiful about me and Jesse and all my tribe members, High Long and off High Long topic. We all share the same place. We all
Well, Patrick just dropped. Give us a moment, folks. Take a break. We'll be right back. Hear a word from our sponsors. Listen to a song or something like that. And we will be back here momentarily once Patrick comes back on. We'll be back here shortly. All right, folks, we are back. What's up, man?
Hey!
Back in the saddle again. Technical things, man. But no, where we did leave off, the self-deprecation, you know, the joking, and look, like, I've talked to you about this stuff in the past, and you're always, apologies for this. I'm like, first of all, stop that. Right? You got nothing to apologize for. But I get it. Right. We understand where we come from when we say things like that. We want to be respectful. We want to indicate like, hey, you know, this wasn't intentional, blah, blah, blah. But man, I want people to know that, you know, yeah, sure. There are things about ourselves that we can change, we can work on, we can improve on. But like, and Sagan too, right? She's like, I'm sounding crazy. I'm like, no. And you, I think you even said too, right? Like,
not at all.
Not crazy, normal, right? Like, let's stop that right there, you know?
Right.
let's put the kibosh on that.
That's what we do, though. We all find ourselves in those messed up predicaments. But, you know, we have those amazing people that, you know, hey, by the way, you're getting carried away here. So, boop, here you go. That's where you need to be.
Well, I think it's that gentle nudge. It's that tough love sometimes if needed. But it's that, let's get you back on course here, man. You know, let's get you back on track. You're kind of going off into the weeds here. You're taking this a little in a direction that's not going to be constructive for us, for you, for them, for right. And so, hey, let me reel you back in, right? I used to ride horses, and I know that sounds random, but I'm mentioning it for a specific reason. I used to ride horses, and one of the things about riding a horse, especially in like the natural landscape, like if you're going on a trail ride or something, is that their attention gets diverted pretty easily. You know, they'll get spooked by something, they'll hear something, they're gonna be, oh, that, right? Well, guess what? I'm the rider. I'm the one controlling the show here. You got to listen to what I'm saying. So in a similar sort of way, right? When we're with our people, when we're with the folks that know us, right? Part of that responsibility that I feel we have to each other is to keep each other from going off the trail and chasing a rabbit. You know what I mean? Hey, get back. Oh, reel you back in. Let's stay on point here. It's okay to go explore, but if we're going too far off into the weeds and it becomes too treacherous, like before we get to that point, give ourselves a good yank back into the, you know, into where we need to be here. So
easy to fall into those snares too, especially when you're having a bad day. You can help be consumed, or not even a bad day, just a bad encounter. There might be something happening to you that just sticks to you. Like me personally, yeah. I had something like that happen recently, and I want to shake it off. I want to just forget about it. But then all the same, part of myself is like, yeah, that was really crappy. But it served a purpose. Pleasant or not, you know, I wish every experience could be like Mira's newest, you know, video release, or listening to some great friends, sound advice, or spending time with birds of prey at a run fair. I mean, that's something me personally I'm still really back from. I mean, you know, going back to the autumn equinox and appreciating what we have, and you know, giving thanks for special moments. And the most important thing about those moments and those times we strive for, it's never forced. It's something that's organic. It happens when it needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we can't Jesse, me and you, we've had this discussion multiple times, and it's a very worthy topic worth mentioning several times, because we need that reminder. Hey, you know what? You might be getting carried away, or hey, you know what? Things are messed up right now, but there are some lights at the end of the tunnel. There are beacons of hope and are saying that, you know, hey, you know, you're going through a messed up time, but you're not lost. You're still very much present.
Yeah. Like, those are lessons, right? They can be shocking. They can be like, those moments can really, we can become so absorbed in the moment that we lose sight of the bigger picture. It's easy to have that happen. You know what I mean? Somebody like Sagan or whoever, I'm just, you know, feeling like I'm so disconnected. I'm so empty. You know, what can I do? What do I do? I'm just going to keep running, man. I'm just going to keep moving. Because that's what you're so familiar with. That's what you're so in tune with. Like, that's just what I've been doing. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. Well, we're already talking now about you changing your approach to the group that you're with and removing yourself from that. So that's a pretty drastic change. And now, you know, there's this talk of, well, what do I do to kind of help heal this feeling of emptiness that I have? And so now we're entertaining ideas of, instead of moving so much, give yourself a break and pause and stop, right? A lot of change, a lot of drastic transitional moments that, you know, again, quite honestly, if all you're absorbed is what's happening in the moment, you lose sight. It clouds your vision to see past what's right in front of you. It's kind of like, you know, you remember when you used to learn, you remember as a kid, or teenager, or whenever you learned how to drive?
Yeah.
You remember that? I remember one of the things that I was taught about driving is you don't look at the road in front of you, like in front of your nose. You don't look at the road in front of your vehicle. You look past it. You look beyond it. You look ahead of it, because you got to see everything. You got to see what's going on. You got to have that awareness of everything else that's going on, right?
The rear view, you know, or the front view.
Yeah. You know, and I think we can take that lesson. We can take that analogy and apply it to stuff like this too. If all we're seeing is what's in front of us in the moment, we're blinded to the bigger picture. We're blinded to the path that's in front of us and where we're going, because we're so focused and so enamored with what's happening right in front of our feet.
And more often than not, though, we have that potential support that we often lose sight of. Like, oh, I'm so lost. I'm so messed up. I'm so useless. No. You may feel that way, but feeling's not always a clear-cut indication what you're actually going through. It's okay to feel the way you feel, but don't let it define you. And I hate saying that too, because I more often not fall victim to that very same thing. It's just, we need a reminder. Several reminders, honestly. We need all the reminders we can take, you know?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, look, maybe in reality, because I like to look at the big picture, right? You know, maybe we are lost in that moment. Maybe we are off of the path. Maybe we found ourselves following this rabbit hole that we are having a hard time getting ourselves out of. And we need our people. That's where I go back to with heathenry, especially like the tribe construct, the tribal mentality, right? Your people rely on you and you rely on your people. If you're just out here skating along, doing your own thing by yourself, isolated, right? Not really having a tribe, having a group, having a collective to go back to, then yeah, absolutely. You will get lost. And then it's good luck, Charlie, you know, hope you find your way back. And if you don't, oh, well. But if you have that group, if you have that tribe, you have that family extension to fall back on, then they can be like, well, where did Patrick go? Oh, he went off that way. Let's go look for him. Let's help get him back to the group, right? Let's help get him back on track or whatever, you know? So that's where I go into, like, know who your people are. Have that thing, you know? And that's a challenge too. I mean, a lot of people, I think, are... I see a lot of examples, at least, of this in my area, of people that are and have been solitary practitioners for a very long time, you know, and they stay that way for reasons, I guess, you know. Maybe there's an anxiety, maybe there's well, there's nothing really in the area, or I don't do well in groups, or all those types of things. And I go, well, all right, but are there really not people in your area, or the steps that needing to be taken to find people in the area not being gone through, right? Are we not doing those things to have that sense of community established?
Well, you will never truly know yourself unless you challenge yourself. And yep. That's something, you know, a lot of us can be guilty of, because in a perfect world, again, we can have nothing but sunshine and, you know, gumdrops. It'd be great to stay and wake up every day and, hey, I'm in a good mood. Let's have a great day. Let's just make the best of it. No. That's not the way life works.
and for good reasons too.
That sounds horrifying to me, to be honest.
No, no. But just, you know, we can't appreciate love without hate. We can't appreciate heat without cold, or vice versa. For all you crazy fucks who like cold, Jesse being one of those people. But
hey, man, you can put more clothes on. You can only take so much off, and then
Fair enough. I'm sure the ladies can appreciate that too. But all the same though, we need messed up times to really find ourselves and test our mettle. Really put ourselves in those circumstances to really define ourselves. And that's something I really appreciate about our path.
Yeah. Probably going to drop again, but you do. You need that challenge. You need that. You're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep, we're good.
Okay. Sorry. But yeah, you do. You need that challenge. You need that. It's nature, man. Like, it literally is. We see it happen all the time in nature. Nothing stays the same for very long.
Exactly. So why are we so frustrated? Because that's the way life is now.
I think it's the way that we've become programmed to think. For some reason, we've reached a point in our humanity that, you know, people just like to stay put and not be disrupted, and people don't like change.
It kind of brings back to my position with my job. It's easy to become complacent and content with the way things are going. It may not work in our favor, but it's serving a purpose. But
yeah, it does its thing. You know, life is the thing, and it does its thing.
Oh, there we go. Hey, cool. We're still here. Eventually, though, that purpose runs out. And we're left with ourselves and that position that we're in to make the best of it. And that's all we can do.
So I want to start wrapping it up, but I wanted to ask a question to you specifically.
Of course.
Once you get settled in.
We're good.
In the vein of the theme of the podcast, you know? So with regards to change, what has been the most impactful or impressionable change for you, Patrick, in your life? What has been the thing, one of, you know, it didn't have to be the single most impressionable change or the single most impactful change, but what change has stood out for you in your life, and what was the result of that change?
That's a really great question. I'm happy to answer it when I have the answer readily available. It's approached me now, but changing my daily practices and the way I do things, especially having my Facebook group for the High Lung Spiritual Mental Awareness and Support Group. It's one thing doing my own thing, but having other people part of my group, I carry a sense of responsibility and appreciation for collectively holding a standard, holding, you know, a beacon of hope and being the person I am. And in doing so, I appreciate myself and my struggles and my plights, and knowing that I help other people, and knowing I provide inspiration when I find it vacant and naked for me, that I don't have any hope. And in those times I being myself and sharing what I share, I find that support right in front of me. I have these people, this amazing tribe that's High Lung, not just High Lung, but my family, my blessed friends, who stand by me during these messed up times, to have that network of support readily available before my eyes. And it's okay to lose sight of that support network and those people. It's okay to feel that way. But back to your question, you know, just find myself making those changes, transitions to really honor, praise myself, as well as my family, my tribe, my groups that I follow, to really be confronted and supported during those hardships. What about you, Jesse? What's your answer to that question? Yeah. Yeah. I can't hear you.
I did the thing again. I did the thing where I start talking and I don't unmute myself because sorry about that. But what? So answer my own question, right? Answer my own question. What has been the most impactful or the most impressionable excuse me, change in my life? Moving from New York to Tennessee almost 20 years ago. And I wasn't even a heathen at that point or pagan, you know what I mean? But I lived most of my life up to that point within my parents' home, you know. I was not reliant on them, but it, relatively speaking, it was, you know, yeah, sure, I had responsibilities, but moving out of the home, moving away, especially moving a whole, you know, 13 hours away into a different state, that was a huge change. And that was a change that really threw me into this. You gotta, if you don't have it figured out, you're gonna figure it out along the way. You're gonna, you have no other option. You can't rely on mom and dad and whatever, you know, to help with something. You've got to figure out your own stuff. That was really where, and you know, I moved away when I was in my early 20s. I was like 22 years old when I moved away. And I know a lot of people will have different things happen in their lives where they're forced to grow up and mature and be self-reliant and all this kind of stuff at different ages. But at that point in my life, I didn't have jack squat figured out in my life. But I made the decision and I made the choice to relocate and to move. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, now you got to figure it out. So that was a really impactful and an impressionable moment in my life of change to take responsibility. And I made a lot of bad choices, you know. But that's just it, you know. Again, looking back on the moment and realizing that, yeah, those choices at the moment were bad choices, but where am I now?
They don't define you.
Yeah, exactly. Where am I now? Right? Because I made dumb choices back then doesn't mean that I am a bad person now. If anything, I learned from those bad choices, you know, and I learned from that experience to not repeat that same behavior. You know what I mean? And we're you know, human beings and people, you know, there's like this propensity to, no matter how bad it gets, like some of us are a bit more hard-headed and some of us repeat the same mistakes no matter what, like, why would you do that again? Don't you remember what happened last time? Kind of thing. But to answer the question, to answer my own question that you threw back on me, right? Like, that's probably one of the most impressionable and most impactful moments of my life, was to just uproot, leave, and start a new life with everything against me, or most things against me. I mean, my family was against me. I was literally told to my face that I'm going to fail. That was told to me. You know, you're going to fail. Okay. And did I fail along the way? Yes.
We all did.
Yeah. But that's part of the thing is failure is a lesson. You know what I mean? If you make a mistake, that's the opportunity to learn from it. The true failure is if you don't learn and if you just accept defeat.
Exactly.
If I had hit the flights and the problems and the issues along the way and let that be the thing that's like, yeah, man, they were right. I really did fail. Let me go crawling back and, you know.
Cry all day long, no.
Yeah, that wouldn't have, the whole gesture, the whole thing of me leaving and going and doing what I did would have been for nothing. I experienced those things throughout my youth and early adult years to condition and put me in a position to handle things that are going on in my life now. And that's an ongoing thing. You know what I mean? That's an ongoing lesson. The challenges, the suffering, the all of that. It's the changes that happen. You know, you may not like it. It may suck. But hey, guess what?
It's
happening for a reason. And it's meant to put you in a position to be ready for the next stage of change. The next change that happens wherever or whenever that occurs.
And when it finds you, yeah.
Yeah. But so, yeah, man, I thought that was a really great conclusion. So thanks for answering the question. And, you know, Sagan, again, thank you for calling into the podcast and expressing the things that you did. And hopefully what we were able to talk about on this episode, a really long one, but hopefully a good one.
I love it.
To help you, you know, and all the little idiosyncrasies, the little glitches, the little things along the way. Hey, you know, if you made it this far in the podcast, if you made it to the end, Patrick, I'm going to put you on the spot because this is a thing that you've done before. So
yep.
If you made it this far, and if you made it to the end of this podcast, comment down below with Patrick. What do you want to put to that?
Tell us your favorite season and why.
Favorite season?
Seasons kind of go to the transitional period that we're discussing right now and why it's important. Some people might find winter appropriate. It's time to die spiritually or whatever you choose. Not physically, obviously, but, you know. Or some people might say, you know, summer, because you're alive, you're flourishing, you're doing your very best. Or fall, you know, your time to, you know, relax, adjust, and assimilate what's going on. Some people may be spring, like me. I'm more towards fall and spring, those transitional periods, like, you know, the ones more positive and whatnot, but also, you know, I love spring because, you know, everything's being blossoming. It's starting over again. But then the other side, fall. I love fall because, more importantly, the temperature's more cool, just like spring, but also the autumn leaves. And more importantly, though, is I feel like the veil between the sacred spirit and ourselves is most thin. And more importantly, for those of the Norse pagan community, we have the holy tides that are fast approaching us. You know, winter nights, Yule, you know, just that's the peak period of my experience personally, just having that communion, that availability to really, again, those messed up times. Winter, in my opinion, is a very hard time, especially Christmas. For all Norse pagans or heathens, you know, we're celebrating and venerating all the same, but not for the same reasons. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I celebrate that because, you know, I'm with my family and I'm very grateful to be in the position to be thankful of my family and the traditions that have led me up to this point. But again, you know, it's all how you see it. But yeah, the ultimate question, what's your favorite season and why? And thank you so much for lasting this long. I know a few people who will be here, but, anyone who's watching, thank you. We appreciate you.
We do. And it's been a great show. So thank you for coming back on here and being a really fun guest and my friend and just contributing so much to this. It's been great. I appreciate you. And thank you for offering the idea, the concept, like the topic for this week. Like this is from Patrick, guys. Like the Miraceti, you know, Mira's music video. You know, Patrick wanted to talk about this, and I thought, well, yeah, let's expound upon it. Let's go places with it. Let's talk about some things. And then Sagan calling in and talking about what she did. Like, it kind of all wraps up into a nice little bundle of embracing change.
And I want to thank you, Jesse, for making that reaction video. Like we said previously to this podcast, like I told you for like over a half an hour, I'm like, Jesse, this is it. This is perfect. I'm like the whole time, like it's so refreshing to have someone to really reciprocate and understand the position of passion and understand that we share. And that kind of ties into what we're talking about and the paths that we follow. You know, this having someone, whether it be, you know, a close friend that you've known since, you know, the early stages or someone who you just met recently who shares those similar plights and victories, you know, that's what that's all about. Don't forget the hardships because they play a role, but more importantly, give attention to those and what makes you hopeful and happy. Because we couldn't be the person and people we are today without both the hardships and the victories that we share.
Absolutely. It's all part of shaping us, you know, it's all part of it. So thank you everybody for tuning in and watching this episode this week. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to Midgard Musings. Check out Patrick's Pylon group. That's going to be linked down in the show notes and description of this video. Sigyn especially, if you're looking for an anonymous safe space and you just want to vent or whatever, it's there and we would welcome you there. So definitely be sure to check all of the information that's annotated down in the description or over here in the show notes, wherever it is that you're capturing this podcast. Thank you to Patrick again for coming on here this week and being an honored guest as always. And for everybody else that is listening and watching this week, thank you for your ongoing and constant support. May the gods continue to notice you, and may your ancestors smile upon you. We'll see you in the next one.